Welcome to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. I'm your host, Matt Bruce, and on Troop Talk Radio, you'll hear our brave military men and women in their own words from wherever they're serving America in the global war on terror from. And now, let's get started with this week's show. Thank you for tuning in to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. Show more fun than a human being should be allowed to have by law, but we find a way. A little heart. That's the Wilson sisters, Barracuda. Now, that's a fish, a barracuda, and we got the Coast Guard in the house. We've got Chief Petty Officer Harold DeBuff from St. Petersburg, 23 and a half years in the Coast Guard. Chief Petty Officer, Operations Specialist Chief. He's the supervisor of the OpCons unit, as well as SITCON Situation Unit at the Command Center here in St. Pete. And Chief, thanks for being on the program.
You're welcome.
And 866-977-4820 with any questions. 866-977-4820 with any questions. Okay, Chief, it's official. Let's welcome back the PSU 307 unit over in Kuwait. They did a bang-up job over there.
Awesome job. Those guys deployed. Most of them are reservists, and we couldn't do it without them, much like the auxiliary and our other port partners.
Yeah, now the PSU unit, of course, that is port security, and we had them here on the show. We had a couple of different calls from Kuwait, and Lieutenant Commander Christopher Fink, I remember, was one of them. I can't remember the name of the other fellow. But, you know, they were very proud to be doing what they were doing. And that was, people don't realize that the Coast Guard's over there protecting those oil platforms and the oil pipelines that are over there. And it's a very, very noteworthy job, but nobody talks about it. But we were very fortunate to have them here.
Absolutely. And the Coast Guard's out there protecting, like you said, every day. Unfortunately, the border of the territorial seas are right next to Iranian territorial seas, and of course, as that heats up, so does the Coast Guard's mission. But I think it was right around 2 weeks back, the Coast Guard, right after the Navy did, rescued some Iranian fishermen that were in trouble, burning boat, and helped put out the fire and save those gentlemen. So hopefully we get a pass every once in a while.
Yeah, and the Navy got a big blow up about the fact that they had overtook the bad guys that had captured a bunch of Iranian sailors aboard a boat. But your story got very little play, but we did mention it here because we get that information from that public information officer over there. You see, you know who that is. And by the way, Lieutenant Commander Friday, hello.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's probably flying in a helicopter right now, for all I know. You know, when we see the helicopter fly over, especially when it's a little lower than the one we see the day before, we kind of figure that's him flying over the station.
He may be harassing you.
Yeah, well, not harassing us, but he's doing a good job. Now, the thing of it is, and let's talk about this, the Coast Guard at one time was part of the Treasury Department?
It was, way back in the day, Treasury Department, and then Department of Transportation, and then finally now Department of Homeland Security.
All right, and obviously the mission they've got right now, you have a big part in this special unit that works out of CENTCOM, MacDill, the DEA, that multi-task force unit that goes out after the drugs. The Coast Guard's right smack dab in the middle of all that.
We are in the middle of it and work with operations. Also, it's a place out of Key West called Jayadif, and I don't know how much I can talk about that, but...
We'll just mention it. We'll let it go at that because, you know, it's just like SOCOM. When we talk about Spec Ops and SOCOM, there's a lot of stuff there. We acknowledge the fact they're over here. But as far as what they do, like the SEAL Team 6 thing and the recent activity they just had there, you know, sitting in the gallery of the State of the Union message the other night was the Admiral, commanding officer of that unit, Special Operations Command, was sitting there. And we didn't understand quite why, but then a little bit later, I think we found out why, right?
I imagine you did.
Yep. Okay, folks, 866-977-4020 if you've got any questions for our friend Chief LaBeouf, Harold LaBeouf. He goes by Buff. Okay, what is the one thing, I always put the Coast Guard guys on notice with this, what's the one thing you've done that stands out in your mind that you're the proudest of in the Coast Guard?
Probably the lives that we save here at the sector. Just the command and control aspect. Being able to go ahead and rescue people to where they may not have survived, or there's actually a large chance that they would not have survived without us.
Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon for you guys to wind up going out 40, 50 miles, whatnot. People get out there, they forget about what they're doing. Who knows what they're doing? And they get into trouble out there, and it's not going to be the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department that's going to sail out there. It's going to be you guys.
That's correct. We do use the fire rescue teams from the counties quite a bit, but they are limited in their offshore capabilities. With the air station, we have long legs and can reach out to the tip of our AOR, which goes out to the exclusive economic zone, 200 nautical miles out.
So I got to find out, what's the rift between the air guys and the boat guys? Is there any little rift that I hear every now and then? There might be a little fun.
There's always some ribbing here and there, and you know, we always make fun of the helicopter pilots when you're on the ship and the seas are getting rough and, you know, oh, we're going to go ahead and go on a flight and then, hey, we have a chip light. We have to land in the Bahamas and we're not going to be able to get apart for 3 days.
So, in other words, somebody may be getting a little R&R.
It could be. But generally, overall, they're great guys.
Sure.
And they are responding to everything. Many, many times whenever it's offshore, it's much, much easier to get those guys out. They will go out, pull people out of the water, the rescue swimmers, the pilots. I can't say enough about those guys and how they respond and how professional they are.
Well, let me tell you, Chief, what's going to happen on March the 20th. We got this little Military All-Stars baseball team and some people from the radio station and some legends of the game, including a couple of Hall of Famers that are going to be doing a little baseball thing over there at Bright House Field. And we're going to invite the Coast Guard to come over and participate along with us because it's, you know, all about the military all-stars and whatnot. And we're going to invite the Coast Guard to come over and participate with us. And hopefully we'll be able to get some of you guys over there, too. I'm pretty sure there's some guys in the Coast Guard to play a little ball, right?
Oh, absolutely. I can think of several guys at the unit that'd be more than happy, and if I put it out there to any of the others,
yeah,
especially the stations, we'd probably have too many to play.
Yeah, and I'm gonna let Lieutenant Commander Friday and his staff know about it so that they all know. And it's gonna be a special evening. It's gonna start at 7 o'clock, and it's an annual game. They also tape it to be played on television a little bit later, but it's gonna have a little twist in it this year in that the Military All-Stars baseball team, they use that also as recruiting, you know, to bring in new players, and they don't care what branch of service you're in. Coast Guardsmen can try out for the team, and they can go out there and travel with the Military All-Stars baseball team, which is a joint service team now.
I'm sure a lot of people would like that gig, especially the ability to travel around. That's something special. A lot of Americans would like to travel. I've been fortunate enough to have traveled, and I love it.
Okay, now, in your travels, you've been not only around the country, but you've also been outside the country, right?
Absolutely. I think I've been as far west as Vladivostok, Russia, and as far east as Samsun, Turkey.
Now, you've had duty in Alaska, right?
I have been up to Alaska. I haven't been stationed there, but many, many patrols on a 378-foot cutter, the Chase.
Okay, because a lot of people say you haven't been in the Coast Guard till you've gone to Alaska.
The seas are not nice.
Well, neither's the weather. I mean, you know,
that's what pushes the seas. Roger that.
Yeah. And recently, there was this big deal up there about the Russian oil tanker going to this. I guess they were going to Anchorage, and they had to have a Coast Guard big. As a matter of fact, it was the only Coast Guard icebreaker lead the way, and it took them a long time to get there because of the ice.
It did, and you're right. We're hurting as far as icebreakers go. It used to be a common practice, and we had three at the time. And then I believe the Polar Sea and the Polar Star, I'm not sure if they've been decommissioned, but they're close to it. They're very, very old ships if they're still in service.
Mm-hmm.
But we have one, the Healy, now. That was the one leading the way there.
Yeah.
And it did. It helps get that ship in. Without that, those people would have literally have frozen without the fuel that they needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, we've been speaking today with United States Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer Harold Abuff. You know, it got me thinking airplanes here now.
Airplanes are nice. C-130s are nice. I've flown in HH-65s, the Coast Guard helicopters, but I'm more of a sea guy. I would rather be on the water.
Well, I got to ask you a question here because I've saved the best for last, I think. You like family, you like friends, you like your life in Florida, and it says dislikes, and it's in capital letters here, paperwork. Aren't you the paper pusher over there?
I try not to be. I really do. I like to be in on the action, you know, doing the stuff, but yeah, the higher up you go, the more and more paperwork there is, unfortunately.
Okay, well, Chief, give a shout-out again. We got about 30 seconds to everybody and anybody who's been listening today. I hope your family's had a chance to listen.
Right. I'd just like to thank my wife, Jackie. Like to thank Captain Dickinson and the deputy for allowing me to be here today. She's got a big burden on her shoulders as far as command and control with this coast, and she has a lot of responsibility for this. I'd like to appreciate and say thank you to everybody out there that supports the Coast Guard and the auxiliary and our port partners that help us on a daily basis.
Okay, folks, that's United States Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer Harold Labuff right here in St. Petersburg. Thanks a lot, Chief. Thanks a lot, Coast Guard. All right, we'll be right back with a lot more in Watchdog on Wall Street on the Captain's America Radio Show.
Every Veterans Day, Applebee's salutes veterans and active duty military with a warm thank you and a free meal for our best and bravest neighbors. It's one special day, but we think there should be more, so Applebee's is asking us all to stand up. Extend a hand, write a note, say thank you from the heart every day of the year. Millions of veterans and active duty military call our neighborhoods home. Together, we can thank each and every one. Join us at thankyoumovement.com.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-860-0392. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-860-0392. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-860-0392. That's 1-800-860-0392.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-275-9770. That's 800-275-9770. For free gold information, call now. 800-275-9770. 800-275-9770.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops, on your favorite radio station.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Captain's America Radio Show. Thanks for taking time out of your busy afternoon to listen to us here on the new News Talk AM 1470, WMGG, Dunedin, Tampa Bay. And again, we have got the privilege and the honor of speaking with a good friend of the show, Les Rayburn. Les Rayburn, 35 years in the military. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. And you?
I am doing so good. We just had the Coast Guard in studio. We had one of their chief petty officer from Clearwater, the air station there, and we were talking about the C-130 and how it's advanced since the days of Vietnam.
Oh, these things are not the 130s that we flew in Vietnam, I'll tell you. They have really changed.
Yep. And I was surprised. He's a pilot. He's got a commercial pilot's license, but he's never jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. I told him he didn't know what he was missing.
Yeah, it takes, you know, any coward can just hang on and land.
All right. Well, I teased the segment, Les, by saying we were going to talk about some of those WMDs we found in Iraq. But before I do that, I want to talk about the president's speech last night, talking about bringing 33,000 troops home over the next year and a half or so, starting with 5,000 within the next 30 to 60 days, and then another 5,000 within the next 60 to 90 days, a total of 10,000 between now and the first of the year. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, you know, I've got some serious thoughts on Afghanistan. The generals want to keep them there. They say they need them to finish the mission. I've yet to figure out what the mission is. I really don't know. I don't know what the end state is.
I don't either.
Is the end state? Mm-hmm. You know, the Mullen says it's a mistake to bring them home. We need to keep the troops there to finish the mission. And what is the mission? What does he consider the end state? We're going to keep them there an extra year to do what?
Mm-hmm.
And so they stay an extra year. What will they accomplish by staying an extra year? If you're going to bring 30,000 home, bring 63,000 home.
Mm-hmm.
Or keep them there a year and bring everybody home. I don't understand why keeping them there an extra year is so important. Although, you know, during the summer and the spring or the fall, I guess that's the heavy fighting season.
Right.
I'm just not real sure what the end state is, because no one in this administration has articulated what the end state is.
And one of the reasons that's the heavy fighting season is because that's after they harvest the poppy.
Oh, yeah, after the poppy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I understand that part. But I don't know what the end state is.
Right. Now, let's ask this question, because there's a lot of people that have asked me about this. You know, there's a mineral they found there, and it may be the world's largest supply of it, and it's lithium. And Les, what do they use lithium for?
Batteries.
Yeah. And who is it that's trying to go electric faster than yesterday?
Well, welcome to General Motors.
Yeah, and also China is trying to figure out how they can get their hands on it, because they've had a major move to go electric, but they've got a little problem. They don't have enough batteries.
Well, they don't have enough natural resources for anything, and their economy is growing at an astounding rate. You know, they've come from actually third world status to challenge us for world dominance in an astonishing short period of time.
Yeah. Now let's go back to Iraq. Now, you have served with honor in the military, and thank you for your service, sir. And you also did something as a civilian contractor where you had the assignment to go out and find these artillery rounds and whatever you could find that most people would have considered to be weapons of mass destruction by the definition that was in place. You found them. You destroyed them. People keep telling me they're amazed at your story. It's a true one. So let's go ahead and talk about it. What was it you were doing?
Oh, well, we went to all the ammunition depots. We went and collected ammunition. I was first started out down around Basra, Azabair. And we collected up ammunition. We went up, went all over the southern part of Iraq, down around Basra and that area down there. And he had ammunition spread out all over Iraq. And we would go collect up the ammunition, load it on trucks, and then we'd take it to big sites, and we'd stack it in these 100-ton piles, 130-ton piles, and we'd destroy it. we'd find it in different locations scattered out. We'd find the ammunition supply points with magazines and bunkers. And, in fact, our camp was located at a big Iraqi ammunition supply point.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd collect this stuff up, and we'd take it out and blow it up. And every now and then we'd come across an ammunition supply point that had, weird things. We'd come across around Fallujah, we came across an airfield, an airbase near Fallujah that had a dispenser that fit up under aircraft wings.
Right.
And this dispenser was used to dispense liquids. And obviously the liquids were...
Well, it was the gas they were using, right?
Yeah, the gas used to dispense things like ricin, and that was the one thing that we had found was a ricin dispenser.
Sure.
So we added that to the pile, and we just blew it up.
We know that he had mustard gas from World War One because we were the ones that gave him the mustard gas.
Oh yeah.
Did you find any of that?
I did not come across any mustard gas, but we do know from intelligence that they did load a lot of stuff up and drive it across the desert and take it into Syria. Now,
right.
Now we do know that from intelligence.
Yep.
And we did come across and find some artillery shells that had been emptied. Now, they had been emptied and drained, but the mm-hmm. shells themselves, the hollow shells, we did find some empty shells that had remnants of ricin shells.
Mm-hmm.
We found some of those, and we put those in the pile and blew them up, too. Now, when we blew them up, these fires were extremely hot and destroyed
right.
it. And
right.
we put those on the fire, and we destroyed those, too.
And I'm sure it was perfectly clear white smoke that came out of the pile, right?
Oh, yeah. It was nice. And then these are big explosions. You put 135 tons of explosives in a pile, and these are some...
Well, I was being facetious, Les, because I know some of these gases were emitting red clouds, blue clouds, green clouds, whatever they were at the time.
These are real small, minute amounts, because mm-hmm. we were mm-hmm. mixing them in with just tons and tons of conventional explosives.
Right, right.
But we did find it. I mean, it was there. But we found small amounts. And don't get me wrong, we didn't find any great big huge stockpiles.
But how did Gaddafi manage to get his hands on some of the stuff that reportedly was in Iraq? How did he get his hands on that stuff? You think he bought it from his little buddy Saddam?
Oh, sure he did. Okay. Saddam was bought it, gave it to him. Saddam was a supplier of the world. You know, he wanted everybody to have it.
So, Les, that leads us to the present. We're in Libya. We keep being told there's no combat troops in Libya, but I'm here to tell you, when we've got logistics and transportation people with boots on the ground, when we've got MASH units with medical facilities on the ground, we've got security, those are boots on the ground, and I guarantee you they're there with their weapons. Am I wrong?
Oh, no. I don't think you're wrong. We have to have some folks on the ground. We don't put people like John McCain and some of our politicians to go into Libya and talk to these rebels, and we don't put some of the folks that we have on the ground,
yep.
and we don't do the precision bombing that we do without some people with some guidance systems on the ground, and we're not getting the intel we're getting without people on the ground. I would bet a large sum of money that we have special operators on the ground, and we've had them there for a while. So I think, yeah, you're right. We've got people on the ground, and that we don't have them, and I'd look at them and laugh at them.
So my final question for you today, Les, and folks, we're speaking with Les Rayburn, a 35-year military veteran. My final question for you is, we come to the border. We come to a situation on the border which is not getting better. If anything, it may be getting a little bit worse by what we keep hearing going on down there. Shouldn't we have our military down there?
If I were king for a day, I think that our southern border is more dangerous than Libya, that I would move the United States Army to our border, and I would patrol our border, and I would secure it with the United States Army, and it is more dangerous than any war we're fighting.
Well, Les, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. Always a pleasure to speak to you here on the Captain's America Radio Show. Your website is lesrayburn.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm waiting for the book.
You know, you and my wife both. She beats me up about once a week about it.
Okay, well, you know, when I'll tell you what, when you get it, we're going to buy it. So you got one sale, you know, of, well, two, your wife and me, right?
Yeah, you and my wife. That'd probably be the only two I sell.
All right, well, Les, thanks very much for your service to our country. Look forward to speaking to you another time, my friend.
All righty.
Okay, folks.
Asbestos cancer warning. If exposed to asbestos and diagnosed with mesothelioma, asbestos cancer, or lung cancer, please call now. You may be entitled to a cash award from the $18 billion in asbestos trust funds. Even if your loved one passed away due to mesothelioma or lung cancer, call because you may be entitled to financial compensation. Asbestos exposure occurred in Navy or shipyards, working in carpentry, roofing, insulation, or in the construction, plants, industrial facilities, and automotive industries. Mesothelioma is a rare cancer. Are almost exclusively caused by exposure to asbestos. Time is limited. If your loved one has been affected by mesothelioma, asbestos cancer, or lung cancer caused by exposure to asbestos, call now. You may be entitled to a cash award.
Call 1-800-530-2206. That's 1-800-530-2206. Again, 1-800-530-2206.
Advertising by Truett Aiken, Aiken Mears, GP, Houston, Texas. Case may be referred to other attorneys for principal responsibility.
Did you ever turn to your radio for your favorite talk show to find that it's been preempted for this?
In the air to deep right center. That goes Lewis to the wall. And it's all here!
Or this?
And I'm ashamed of you, Hillary, for voting for it.
Do you have a favorite talk radio program that's not available in your city? Just go to TalkStreamLive.com for links to the best streaming talk radio shows. At TalkStream Live, you will find live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All your favorites are here. With such a large selection, you will also discover some new favorites. On the go and still want to listen? With a Windows mobile smartphone, simply type TalkStreamLive.mobi on your internet browser. Now you can take internet radio with you. You will also find hundreds of music, news, and sports streams. Best of all, the TalkStream Live directory is free and there's never a login required. Remember TalkStreamLive.com, the fastest route between you and your favorite talk radio show.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio, voice of the troops, on your favorite radio station.
Air Station Clearwater, just north of St. Petersburg, Florida. It's one of the largest and most active Coast Guard air stations in the country. The crews that work there have a motto, anytime, anywhere. And day in and day out, they live up to that motto. Whether it's being on the front line of the drug wars, saving illegal migrants trying to make their way onto our shores, or rescuing someone who would have otherwise died at sea, they are there, anytime, anywhere. It's not easy. It takes the largest fleet of aircraft to live up to that promise, and it takes a whole lot of commitment on the part of the crew. Of course, one thing that helps is that the Coasties who work as flight crews on the aircraft, whether it be fixed wing or helos, also maintain them.
All right, there you go. Air Station Clearwater. Ooh, I'll tell you what, we'll give them one for that one. All right, well, joining us on the telephone right now, we've got a couple questions. Let's get right to the phone lines. Craig and Wikiwachi. Yes, sir. What's your question for the Lieutenant Commander?
Hey, Lieutenant, I got a question for you. When you have drug interdiction, somebody coming across the Gulf from Central or South America, where do you get your tip from to intersect these guys?
Well, if I gave you that information, they wouldn't be tips anymore. But, you know, as a pilot, if we get a tip, and, you know, we'll just go out there and try to investigate with a target of interest. There's multiple ways that they come in.
All right. Now, obviously, if they keep running, do you guys carry a Barrett 50 caliber, or what kind of rifle are you guys using to knock out the engines?
Well, we have this new, the airborne use of force that we have. We don't actually use that to try to stop drug runners, but we do have another unit in Cecil Field. They are our hit-run unit. It's called their the high-intensity, I can't even remember.
Disable the engines.
Yep. Yeah, they're the ones that you're thinking about with the 50 calibers or the, you know, whatever guns they have
on
the back.
Your Jayhawks down there aren't carrying them?
No, we don't have the same type of arsenal on our aircraft.
Do you carry any kind of armament at all for, like, knocking out any of the boats or anything?
No, we do have a mission called Airborne Use of Force, and that's used to stop people from getting to high, what we call it, we have security zones that are designated, and we would fly on that.
In other words, a grid. Let me ask somebody, your aircraft, is that on the Jayhawk, are they running a five-blade system on your rotor?
No, we have a four-bladed system.
Oh, it's only four?
Yes.
Okay.
You say only
right.
four, but we're loud enough.
Yeah, okay, four. All right, that's unusual.
All right.
And are you capable of air refueling?
No, we don't do air refueling because the Coast Guard, we carry enough fuel to go out there and come back, that's the intention.
You have the auxiliary fuel tanks, right?
We have aux tanks, and we can carry up to about 990 gallons. We could travel 300 nautical miles offshore, hover for about 15 minutes, and then return to point of origin.
Is that with the fuel tanks?
That's with the externals.
External fuel tanks?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Craig, thanks very much for calling. Let's go to Christine in Newport Richey. Christine, what say you?
Oh, hello, Captain Madden, Lieutenant Craig. I want to thank him for his service to our country.
Thank you.
And I want to also say that I'm glad the Merchant Marines were mentioned also, and I hope they get veterans status. I hope they can get veterans pensions someday.
Working on it.
And the Reserves and the National Guard and everybody, we all include them in our salute, too.
Do you have a question for the Lieutenant Commander, Christine?
I'm trying to think.
Well, have you ever been out in a boat and ever had run out of gas or something and wondered who's going to come get you?
Well, I know. With the Coast Guard, they're very valuable.
CETO first.
And yeah. I will say this. I hope that someday Douglas Monroe will be honored on a postage stamp. He was a Coast Guard hero from World War II.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping enough people out there will send letters to the U.S. Postal Service and honor him.
Every single Marine Corps personnel knows Douglas Monroe.
Oh, yes. I've read about him. And I'm hoping that will come because they've been honoring a number of heroes from the armed forces now. So I'm hoping that will be coming soon, I hope.
All right. Well, Christine, thank you very much for your call.
Have an enjoyable holiday.
Yes, most definitely. And Lieutenant Commander Bill Friday is our guest right now, United States Coast Guard Air Wing here in Clearwater. How many calls did you guys answer last year there, Lieutenant Commander?
Calls? Oh, for search and rescue cases?
Yep, for search and rescue.
Well, last year in fiscal year 2010, we had 359 SAR cases. We assisted 483 people.
Mm-hmm.
Lives saved was about 85 mm-hmm. and over... $380,000 in property saved. So far this year, we have 194 SAR cases, 245 lives assisted, along with 62 lives saved.
So you're a little bit ahead of last year. In other words, there's more people that have made mistakes out there in the water.
Yeah, well, we want to hope to make sure that they get a little bit smarter, and what we want to do is just pass on safety tips.
All right, well, we've all been through hurricanes here. That's part of what we go through down here. And I have watched when the fire department and when the EOC has been shut down because we can't go anywhere. And the people that are still out there doing their job is the United States Coast Guard. Not only the helicopters that are out there trying to do what they can, but also the boys aboard the cutters. Tell me a little bit about that. When do you shut down in a hurricane? We have to shut down when the winds reach 40 miles an hour.
Well, this particular aircraft that we have, the H-60, we could start our rotors in 60 knot winds, but usually we don't fly into the hurricane if we could avoid it. If we depending on if a life can be saved, there's a chance that we might take that risk. We have to mitigate all the factors, and the most important thing we want to do is get the people back in the aircraft home safe. But then if we can do that along with saving other people out there, we'll take that risk if needed.
Now,
and that's also with the C-130s too. It's not just the H-60s. We have the H-60s and the C-130s here at Air Station Clearwater.
Yep. And the C-130s we see flying around on a regular basis. And, of course, I always wonder when I see them going straight south. I wonder how far down they're going today. Because you encompass a very large area here, don't you? Your normal patrol area?
Right. For District 7 is where we're located. It is extremely large. We're talking about part of the western Florida, all the way from like Panama City all the way up through Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And we cover the Bahamas. We're deployed down there in we call it Operation Bahamas Turks and Caicos. We're we're down there 24/7, and our C-130s do to get deployed to the JATF, the Joint Task Force Joint Interagency Task Force South. which is that they go down to South America and stuff.
And if you have any questions for Lieutenant Commander Bill Friday, we encourage you to call 866-977-4820, even if you just want to thank him for his service. The number is 866-977-4820. Well, you know, the Coast Guard, I remember my local Coast Guard station in upstate New York along Lake Ontario in Oswego, and they had a 44-foot cutter there. The sheriff's helicopter would land fairly frequently there to do search and rescue, and up would go somebody from the Coast Guard, because the closest, I'm trying to remember where the closest airfield for the Coast Guard was to us, but it was a ways away, and we had Fort Drum up there. It at one time was Camp Drum, then Fort Drum, home of the 10th Mountain Division. So a lot of the Blackhawks came down, the green Blackhawks came down, and they did a lot of the work down there. But once in a while, the helicopters from the Coast Guard would show up, and once in a while, one of the larger cutters from the Coast Guard would show up. So we had a very good working relationship, the fire department that I was in, plus with the Coast Guard, because we did a lot of things, which also included, and I know we don't have it in Florida, ice rescue. That's something you guys are really good at, too, when the weather gets bad and people go through the ice.
Well, prior to being stationed in Air Station Clearwater, I was in Air Station Kodiak for three years, and I've been here for 3 years. So I've had a little bit of knowledge on ice rescue, I guess you could say that.
A lot warmer down here, right?
A lot, yeah. The aircraft actually likes cold weather.
Okay, very good. And we've got another caller on the line, Tom in Clearwater. Tom, question for the Lieutenant Commander.
I got two questions. One is, why is it a C, or I used to see two, three times a day, that I guess it's a C-130 cruise all around Clearwater? And my second question is, what is the cost of the fuel? Is that pretty expensive?
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm sorry I didn't understand the first question about the C-130. What did you want to know about them?
I think around 10:30, I used to take a break, and I used to see it cruise around like Pinellas County two or three times a day.
May not be the same plane.
You're talking about flying?
Yeah, it's flying around.
Well, I mean, we have to maintain our proficiency, and we do that by training. So, majority of our fuel expense, if it's going to lead into the second segue of the question, is dealing with training. Because if we don't train, then we're not proficient, and then, you know, we won't conduct the rescues or the law enforcement missions with the utmost, just using the same word, proficiency.
I was just wondering if you're looking for anything or just training.
Okay. You know what? We're flying every day. Sometimes we're out there doing training. For instance, last night I was out just north of Manatee, just east of Anna Maria Island doing boat training. You know, doing an instructor IP flight for another person sitting in the right seat. And so we're out 10 o'clock at night flying, doing training, and we're out
early
in the morning.
I've seen you out there with dropping the swimmers in out there, too, doing some live drills. Tom, thanks very much for your call. Call back anytime.
Thanks for the service.
Thank you.
And, folks, we've been speaking with United States Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander Bill Friday. You're going to hear the Coast Guard on the program every week here. We're going to try to work him in on Thursday, so that'll be the regular slot, talking about search and rescue. All sorts of things the Coast Guard did, some you know about, some you don't know about. And if you want to get a hold of Lieutenant Commander Bill Friday, his direct number is 727-539-9140. And Lieutenant Commander Friday, thank you very much for being on the Captain's America Radio Show. A pleasure and honor, and thank you for your service, and
you're welcome.
Make sure you tell those Coast Guardsmen and the gals and the guys over there that we appreciate everything they're doing for us, and we want to see them over here.
I will. Thank you.
All right, and folks, the Captain's America Radio Show rolls on. We'll be back with a lot more. The news is coming up. We got plenty of news. Let's go right straight to the newsroom.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? Protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Call now and get $850 of hardware and activation for free. Call 1-866-690-1414. That's 1-866-690-1414. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions and protect your home license numbers.
Hi, everybody. This is the Captain. Come on out and see the Heroes of the Diamond Tour featuring our Military All-Stars multi-service baseball team with some first responders there, too. Go to the heroesofthediamond.com website to find out more about the Red, White, and Blue Tour coming to a town near you across America this summer. That's Heroes of the Diamond Tour. Go to the website heroesofthediamond.com and tell them the Captain sent you when you go out to watch some baseball.
Hi, folks. This is the Captain. Have you ever wanted to advertise your business, event, or group on a nationally syndicated radio show and thought you couldn't because it'd be way too expensive? Well, just relax, because we can help you out for less than what most local radio stations currently charge. Just send an email to the Captain's America Radio Show at gmail.com, and we'll be glad to tell you how. That's the Captain's America Radio Show at gmail.com. Now back to more stimulating talk at your home of common sense.
200,000 men and women who proudly served in our uniforms are on our streets tonight. Homeless veterans deserve the most from our government, but they're getting the least. The Circle of Friends for American Veterans has been fighting for veterans since 1993. Let's get homeless veterans back into homes and jobs and society. Please take just 1 minute to visit vetsvision.org, because when we take care of our veterans, we take care of our country. Visit vetsvision.org today.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio, voice of the troops, on your favorite radio station.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, we're coming together here, but we're coming together with the Coast Guard, because we've got our Chief Marine Science Technician, Chief Petty Officer Steve Natale back. 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820 with any questions. Well, Chief, again, you are the Supervisor, Incident Management Division, Sector St. Petersburg, and you are a Chief Marine Science Technician. Again, explain what that position is.
Basically, we're for our AOR, like I said a little bit earlier, was from Port Charlotte all the way up to Apalachicola. We are prescribed to go out and respond to any kind of oil spills or potential oil spills or hazardous material releases in the coastal zone. That pretty much is, you know, the whole western coast of Florida. And we work at that pretty much every day. Some days are a little faster and more robust than others, and other days are a little slower. We like those slow days, honestly. But if something's going on out there, you know, we send our guys out there and we try to take care of it as quickly as we can.
Now, what's the thing that you like the most? What's the one thing that stands out in your mind, the best thing you've done since you've been in the Coast Guard?
Oh, wow. I would have to say just being a part of something kind of bigger than myself. At times, you get out there and you just realize that the work you're doing is, it's not so much for me, but it's for everybody else. You know, everybody likes to be out there and enjoying their time outside, on the water, and enjoying having it clean, you know. And sometimes we're out there and we tend to forget that a little bit, but when that hits me, I'm like, you know what, I think I'm actually really doing something for the good of a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, if you got a question for the Chief, you can call us at 866-977-4820. And again, you've been on Coast Guard cutters. You've been down there in Miami. You've been up in Jacksonville. You were also the Marine Safety Office, worked with them up there in Jacksonville. Now, this might sound interesting. Alaska.
Yeah,
Alaska.
Me and my wife were sitting in New England at the time, and that popped up, and we discussed it and said, you know, why not? We've seen Florida. We've been all over there, and go see something new. And I'm really glad I did. And I always knew that Alaska was probably one of the greatest places this country has, one of the greatest areas that we had. And I never thought I'd have the opportunity to get up there and see it. And I'm really glad I did. The vastness of it, the beauty of it, is kind of incomprehensible unless you've been there and seen it. It took me, I was down in Ketchikan, and we wanted to take a vacation to Anchorage, and it took us a two-day flight to get up there. And that's when I started realizing that I never left the state, and it was a 1,200-mile direct flight. And I was like, this place is huge. But it gave me a good appreciation for where I'm at, too. It was very rainy area that I lived in up there. And I missed the Sunshine State quite a bit, so I'm pretty happy to be back also.
Did you get a chance to go anywhere near the pipeline up there in Alaska?
Not directly. We took some vacations up there and went to Denali National Park, but I never really had direct contact or anywhere where the pipeline comes down into Valdez up there from the Bering.
Yeah, because we've been told that there's very large herds of elk and caribou and
all types of wildlife up there in that area, and they love going near the oil field because, of course, that pipe is heated so it doesn't freeze.
I wouldn't doubt that at all, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
It gets very cold up there. The one thing I didn't realize, though, until I got up there, and I know people have talked about how big it is and how much wildlife and everything is up there. Mm-hmm. The thing I did not grasp is exactly how big it really is. And after flying around up there and traveling around by train, I've traveled by boat and float plane, I came back with a really big newfound respect for the sheer size and magnitude of what Alaska is.
And folks, we're speaking with United States Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer Steve Natalie. Now, he is a Chief Marine Science Technician, but he works a lot with vessel maintenance and the ramifications of vessel neglect. And let's talk about people that take care of boats. Now, I had a 25.5-foot aft cabin cruiser, and one of the things that I did was I was on Lake Ontario a lot, as well as the Oswego River. Then I went down into the New York State barge canal system. You could go all the way basically almost to Buffalo and all the way down to New York City if you want to go over the Hudson River. But the first thing that we did when we left, at that time, the EPIRB device was very expensive, but I had one of those. So basic safety equipment on a boat, what are the five top things that they need to have?
Well, obviously, the first and foremost is life jackets.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably been more instances of people having lost loved ones from simply just not having a life jacket on. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's big time, the first and foremost thing that everybody should have on board. And not only that, but not only have it on board, but utilize it and check them to make sure they're in decent condition. Second would be communications. A lot of times we have people that get out there and they don't have a way to communicate back when something's going wrong. A properly operating radio, and you can't always rely on a cell phone,
yeah.
But it's good to have that also as backup. But a properly operating radio, I'd say, and the next thing out of the top five there is a float plan. It sounds so simple. Tell somebody where you're going.
Yeah.
Tell somebody when you're going to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I always did that. When we left the marina where the boat was domiciled, they'd say, where are you going? I'd say, well, here's my float plan. And I'd give them the float plan, and I'd give it to we had a harbor master at our yacht club where we came out of. I gave him the float plan, and I said, here I am. And if I was overdue, they said, well, when are you coming back? And it was all there in the float plan. And if I was overdue, they were looking for you.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
And at the very least, you should tell somebody where you're starting at, where your end point at, and what time to expect you back. But at the very least, a time to where if it's a certain time of the day or night, then and you're not back and haven't made contact, they know something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And by having that basic information, it gives the Coast Guard a great start on going out and trying to track somebody down.
Right. And folks, if you got any questions for the chief here, you can call us at 866-977-4820. And the other thing is, in the St. Lawrence River, the seaway up there, where the little boats and the big boats go side by side right next to each other, and you got this great big Great Lakes freighter coming down at you, and you hear the boat blast and all that stuff coming at you. You know, you hear the one blast or the two blasts, going honk, honk, honk. It's time to think something bad is going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, it's time to put your head on a swivel and
yeah.
Take a look around. Five short is the international sign there for danger.
Yeah.
Even sitting in our office, I've heard it a couple times, just sitting at my desk over there at Bayborough Harbor, and
yeah.
We actually will get up from our desk and run outside to see what's going on, because we know it's something bad.
Yeah.
Keep your head on a swivel when you're out there. Don't get tunnel visioned. Keep an eye on what's coming up and down, especially up in the bay. These larger vessels are coming up inside Tampa Bay. They're pretty much constrained by draft. Our channel coming in and out of Tampa is not very wide, and it's just deep enough for them to be in, and they can't really move out of your way. Once they get headed in a certain direction, that's the direction they're going in. So it's good to keep your head on a swivel, you know, take a look around, keep a proper lookout, and just keep yourself out of danger's way. And if there is a vessel that's bearing down on somebody, we see it a lot of times where people will argue they have the right of way or they don't have the right of way. All I know is you don't want to be in a collision out there on the water. Take action, take prompt action, and keep yourself out of harm's way.
And there's two things that screw that up, because I'm telling you, a sailboat without power, that is, a sailboat without power always has the right of way.
Pretty much. And
yep.
That's fine, and we understand that. At the same time, you know, after an accident happens, to be argued about how it came about is not a good position to be in. So anybody out there that just is, you know, bent on them having the right of way, bad situations.
And the second one is these jet skis. Because a lot of these people go out there on these jet skis and they start drinking. And then they don't really think about what they're doing, and they get out there and they're running way above the wake speeds, and they're zooming in and out and doing, get hurt. And I think they get hurt a lot more frequently on the jet skis than they do on the big boats.
Well, what they are, they're very fast, they're small, they're nimble, extremely maneuverable, and they seem to be like an entry level type of vessel for somebody to get on. And they have to follow the same rules of the roads, the same navigational laws and rules. But what ends up happening is you get some novices on there, and they're not sure of how to steer these things. They don't realize they don't have brakes. They don't know that you just turn, if you take throttle off of a jet ski, and the older jet skis, they don't turn for you anymore.
Yeah.
And so we get a lot of people that'll hit each other, hit into things, cross in front of other vessels. They get them out there where they're wake jumping and that sort of thing. And it puts a lot of the other boaters at a very uneasy position, because they're cruising, doing their thing, and these jet skis will be flying all over the place. So it's best for them to, you know, find a safe area to do that sort of thing in. And recognize that, you know, they present problems for other boats as well as themselves.
And folks, we're speaking with Chief Petty Officer Steve Natalie. Now, he happens to be a Chief Marine Science Technician. He's also the supervisor for the Incident Management Division, Sector St. Petersburg. A hometown guy right here out of Seminole, Florida, but he's been all over the place in his 21 years in the Coast Guard. Okay, what's the one thing that you dislike the most?
About being in the Coast Guard, or...
Well, I've got a dislike. You got it up here. What's the thing that you dislike the most?
Oh, bad weather, by far and away. I mean, I grew up and wanted to learn about weather, and that's why I originally joined the Coast Guard, was to learn to be a weatherman. And of course, I kind of took a little detour, and I'm into doing what I am now. But there'll be nights when I'm sitting at home, and when it's bad weather, storms rolling in, heavy fog in the bay, any of those kind of things, I just kind of cringe, and I hope everybody out there is staying safe and making those decisions that, even though it's bad out there, that it's probably not the best place to be in, and if they can help it.
Okay, so let's take a situation. A thunderstorm comes up like they like to, and all of a sudden it becomes a real barn burner. You're out there, you're 3 miles, 5 miles offshore, you're in the middle of the bay, you've got a 16-foot, an 18-foot, 22-foot pleasure craft. Here it comes, and now you're in it. What do you do?
Hopefully you've got some comms, and if you ever feel like you're in trouble out there, you can immediately call on the emergency hailing frequency, channel 16, and at least let somebody know where you're at and that you might be having problems. At that point in time, though, you beat feet and you get in. But establishing that communication link, if you're ever out there and you're in trouble, if we don't hear back from you, or if something else is possibly happen, at least somebody will come look for you. But just definitely don't want to be tempting it. You don't want to tempt the weather. It's pretty much always going to win on you. And it's been proven time and time again.
Guess who got caught in one of those severe thunderstorms in the middle of Lake Ontario? And I do mean the middle of Lake Ontario, which is 60 miles from one side where I was, straight across to Canada. Me. I had two choices. I could not run what it was, so I turned the boat around, 25 and a half foot aft cabin cruiser, turned the boat around, zipped everything up because I had all the fiberglass sides and all that, feathered the prop, and pointed it right into the storm. It took about 10 minutes for it to go by me. Thunder, lightning, the waves, everything was rolling around me. I gave a call out on the radio, that, you know, my vessel name and where I was, my position, because I had a compass and all that, and I was okay, but that's what I did, and I had no other choice.
That's about all you can do, is point the bow into the wind.
Yep.
And hold on, and do the best you can. The last thing you want is to have a follow-on sea coming on your stern in that situation.
Yep.
But that's about all you can do, is hope you can ride it out.
Now, when I gave the call out, my vessel name, where I was at, my location, I was in a storm and I was going to ride it out. The Coast Guard from Oswego came right back to me, and vessel calling, confirm your location, blah, 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 and let us know your situation in about 10. And I said, roger that, and I did. And in 10 minutes, I called back, and I said, okay, clear sky, looking good. Thanks, Coast Guard Oswego.
Yep, that's kind of what we're there for. But, you know, we're a public service.
Yep.
And, you know, we take that to heart. You know, we want to be out there, and we want to make sure everybody who goes out comes back.
Absolutely. And folks, we've been speaking today with Chief Petty Officer, United States Coast Guard, Steve Natalie, and he is a Chief Marine Science Technician here in the St. Petersburg area, Supervisor Incident Management Division. Well, before we go, give a shout out to everybody and anybody again there, Chief.
All right, got to say hi to Michelle, Katie and Garrett, and Pat and Connie, and the guys back at the office. You know, wish you could be here talking on the radio with me.
You bet. And special thanks to Lieutenant Commander Bill Friday, U.S. Coast Guard Air Station Clearwater, for making this happen. Okay, folks, the Captain's America Radio Show rolls on.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-860-0392. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-860-0392. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-860-0392. That's 1-800-860-0392.
Asbestos cancer warning. If exposed to asbestos and diagnosed with mesothelioma, asbestos cancer, or lung cancer, please call now. You may be entitled to a cash award from the $18 billion in asbestos trust funds. Even if your loved one passed away due to mesothelioma or lung cancer, call, because you may be entitled to financial compensation. Asbestos exposure occurred in Navy or shipyards, working in carpentry, roofing, insulation, or in the construction, plants, industrial facilities, and automotive industries. Mesothelioma is a rare cancer, almost exclusively caused by exposure to asbestos. Time is limited. If you or a loved one has been affected by mesothelioma, asbestos cancer, or lung cancer caused by exposure to asbestos, call now. You may be entitled to a cash award.
Call 1-800-530-2206. That's 1-800-530-2206. Again, 1-800-530-2206.
Advertising by Truett Aiken, Aiken Mears, GP, Houston, Texas. Case may be referred to other attorneys for principal responsibility.
Hey, folks. JR here from Talk Show America. Don't forget to listen to my good friend, Captain Matt Bruce, host of the Captain's America radio program, heard right here on Net Talk World Radio, the home of quality talk shows.
Listening to the best talk radio anywhere. Net Talk World Global Talk Radio. Tell your friends to tune in and get informed. Net Talk World Global Talk Radio. You'll be glad you did. Now more from Net Talk World.